So I want to talk about signs, particularly animal signs, Native American spirit animals, animal medicine, omens, finding feathers, meaningful coincidence, synchronicity. This is one of my favorite topics in the world. It's a program that's always running in the background of my psyche. It's a language of messages I'm constantly engaging with, like Morse code from the natural world. And I guess I keep pushing away signs as an episode topic because it's so big. There's no one 20-minute ramble I can do here that would capture the best or the most profound of signs that I've known about. And the pressure to guide you on interpreting them, well, you know, it's an intensely personal practice. But over the weekend, I had a few stories coming to me about signs and coincidences from my dad, from a really close friend, and I experienced a pretty good one myself. So I'm thinking maybe I should just share those conversations with you guys. I keep thinking of all the podcasters I listen to who apologize for the length of their personal intros and promise to do it less. And I always want to tell them, I do sometimes email them and tweet them and say, no, I like hearing your experiences. Tell me more. So I'm wondering if maybe you're listening to me and thinking you also like hearing about my personal life. And if you do like these kind of rambly monologues and diatribes, listen. My ego is not that huge, so send me feedback or encouragement. Either way, you may like this part of the show and this type of content, or you may want me to stick to the script or to the interview segments. Just let me know. Anyway, I thought rather than going back and trying to compile some greatest hits of signs or pull together some super episode with an expert, which I still might get around to someday. I do have someone in mind. Why not just talk about these experiences as they happen? Let signs and coincidence and synchronicity be the ongoing topic on this podcast that it is in my daily life. I've been talking about signs since I was a kid. There have always been family members who speak about it. There's not a week that goes by where someone within my private circle doesn't share an anecdote with me. So going forward, I'm just going to jump on the mic and record these as they come up. If you have a good one, by all means, send it to me. It'd be really cool if you record a voice memo on your smartphone and email that to me. I might include your story on the podcast. So before we go further, let me introduce myself for the people who are listening for the first time and wondering who this guy is. Welcome and thank you for listening. My name is Slade Robertson. For over 10 years, I've been a professional intuitive and the author of the blog Shift Your Spirits, where I try to write about spirituality with fewer hearts and flowers than most New Age blather. I also mentor emerging intuitives, psychics, and healers in a program called Automatic Intuition. And before I forget, I want to take a moment and give you a little NPR-style pitch about my Patreon page. Here's the thing. I've produced weekly articles and now audio episodes for 11 years, all for free. I don't run third-party advertisements, never have. You can spend hours on my site gorging yourself on content, and you don't even have to scroll past an ad, ever. So I want you to think about this for just a second. Are these episodes worth like a quarter to you? If there was a tip jar on your dashboard, would you throw a few coins in when you like one of the shows? Pledging your support on Patreon would be like buying one of my books for 12 bucks. That seems reasonable, right? That's a whole year's worth of content for me. Plus, for as little as a dollar a month, listeners who support the show on Patreon can access bonus Q&A episodes. You get to send in your questions, I record answers to them, and they go out to patrons of the show exclusively. A shout out to my newest patrons, Amelia, Amy, Jennifer, Deborah, and Sarah. Thank you. Send me your questions. I really appreciate your support. If you want to find out how you can support the show and become a patron yourself, please go to patreon.com/shiftyourspirits. Okay, pitch over. Back to the show. So my dad called and left me a voicemail and asked me to call him back when I had a moment. He had an anecdote for me. I hadn't spoken to him in a couple of weeks. I went on a camping trip around the Memorial Day holiday, and he had gone to a family reunion at that time. And so he was calling to tell me about something that had happened with his brothers. And so his younger brother, Paul, had gone with their other brother, Jerry, to put flowers on their mother's grave. This is my paternal grandmother's grave. And, you know, of course, they have this kind of artificial type arrangement that one of their wives makes and takes and puts on the grave. It's very nice, but it's intended to last, you know, throughout the year. And so they switch it out at Memorial Day. And when Paul, the younger brother, got there and was cleaning off the remains of the previous arrangement, the arrangements have this kind of custom rack, from what I understand, that's made out of wire, that's built to kind of go across the headstone and hang on to it. And then I guess you attach flowers and, you know, ribbons and other kinds of decoration to it. And so my dad was telling me that, and I didn't really specifically know this because I wasn't close to his mom, but he said that, you know, her animal totem was birds, just kind of birds in general. They were very much her spirit animal. And when Paul went to pull the rack off the headstone, he found that there was this really elaborate, beautiful bird's nest that had been constructed in the remains of the flowers and the ornamentation that had been hung on the grave. And so he was very moved by this because of the association, you know, with his mom and birds. And he said that he looked around the graveyard kind of thinking, well, maybe birds like nest on other people's graves too. And he said, you know, there was no one else in the cemetery that had this. And maybe it was just because the rack that my aunt had created was somehow really useful for constructing the nest. But again, you know, it was a meaningful significance for Paul. And so he had her construct an entirely new rack for the new flower arrangement to go on the graves. And he put the original rack on the other side of the gravestone with the nest and put it back in place so that it would remain there. And hopefully another bird would find it and adapt it and use it next season. But anyway, my dad called to tell me this because, you know, he said his brother was really emotional about finding that, and it was really meaningful to him. And of course, my dad knows that I kind of have a different attitude about these kinds of things than other people might have. And, you know, of course, a lot of people would say, oh, well, it's a coincidence. And we got into a conversation about, you know, the point being that it's a meaningful coincidence. You know, forget the fact that it might be very rare and unlikely that it happened. What makes it meaningful is the context and the person who's experiencing that coincidence, or the person who found the bird's nest, in this case, my Uncle Paul. For him, going to replace the flowers on his mother's grave was already a kind of serious, reverent activity. And I'm sure, you know, it touches all kinds of emotions. And, you know, so for him, it was really profound and very magical. And he felt that it was, you know, some type of communication. And, you know, my dad's telling me about this. He's only half as apologetic as Paul was telling him about it, because he knows that I don't need to be convinced that it's meaningful. And I told him to pass on to Paul. You know, I said, the thing that makes it meaningful is that it's meaningful. You know, if it's meaningful to you, if it's more than a coincidence to you, then it counts, right? You know, that's all that really matters. So anyway, while I had him on the phone and we were kind of on this topic, I told him about something that had happened with my friend Tina. Tina is somebody that I mention on the blog often because she is super haunted. She has a lot of paranormal experiences. She's very spiritual. She's actually a very religious person as well, and has a very different belief system from me. But one of the things that brings us together as friends is this sort of overwhelming overlap with the paranormal phenomenon and with spirit communication. And so you'll hear me mentioning her from time to time. Tina had me come over because she heard something, you know, in her house. So it's kind of an ongoing thing. But more seriously, recently her grandmother passed away. I mean, really recently, like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. And my mother and myself went to the viewing and the funeral. We were friends with their entire family, the grandmother, the mother, my friend Tina, and even Tina's daughter. So there's four generations of these women in this family that I'm close to. And so it was heartbreaking. You know, she was an elderly woman. She was in her 80s. She lived a long life. She passed away at home pretty much very quickly. You know, wasn't a lot of terrible suffering involved or anything like that, but it was still sad. You know, it was a sad experience. And I noticed that when I went to the viewing and I was talking to Tina, she was exhausted more than anything. You know, there was so many people to deal with, and there was so much details and bureaucracy around, you know, the arranging the funeral and the viewing and people coming and having to talk to everyone. And it's kind of like hosting the worst party in the whole world. And I kind of felt for her because I knew that she was just anxious and tired, and it had just been a really rough few days. And so I got a text from her a couple of days after the funeral, and she said, "You're not going to believe this." About, I would say, for the last year that her grandmother was alive, she was going over to her house once a week, like on Wednesday nights, to hang out with her. And she was always looking for ways to engage her and, you know, things they could do together. So she had bought her this bingo set. And they started playing bingo every Wednesday night. And she said, you know, her grandmother just really lived for this. She loved it. And she was very particular about using a certain color of bingo chips. It's like they each had their own color. And, you know, the little chips that you, if you play with the kind of cards where you put like a little disc, a little paper disc to cover the numbers as you get them. So she had these little chips, these little paper chips, and I think they were blue. And Tina said that she said to her mom that she wanted to go back over to her grandmother's house before everyone started going through things and throwing stuff away. And she wanted to make sure and get the bingo chips. Because someone might not really think much about them and might just think it's, you know, something that can go to Goodwill or whatever. And for Tina, it was, she said she just had this feeling that she just wanted her grandmother's bingo chips. And so she told her mom, "I'm going to go over there and get those, you know, tomorrow or whatever." And she was doing laundry, like a load of towels or, you know, just something random at her own house. And she started to hear something in the dryer. And, you know, when you have something like a coin that got loose, or there's a zipper on your hoodie and it's making a big racket. And so she went to check it out and to see, because it wasn't a load of jeans or, you know, work clothes or anything like that. It was a load of towels and it was making a racket. And so she went and opened the dryer, and she said that the towels were pretty much dry and warm, and she felt of them, and she thought, "Oh, well, I'll go ahead and pull them out while I'm standing here." And one of the blue bingo chips just popped out on the ground and landed there. And, you know, I mean, like, what are the chances? You know, like she said, it wasn't like she was washing a pair of jeans and she had put bingo chips in the jeans the last time she was there. It wasn't like she was even doing a load of towels at her grandmother's. These were a load of towels at her house. And she said the timing of it was like right after having said something to her mom about it. And so anyway, she texted me. She was very excited. She was freaking out, but she was really happy. And it filled her with a lot of joy. And she said to me, you know, after the whole experience of the funeral and the grave and the remembrances and all that stuff, she said the one thing that kind of made her feel like her grandmother was okay and that she was communicating with her from the other side was finding this little blue bingo chip. So anyway, I had those two stories like going on. And again, you know, Tina and I had this conversation about, she and I had no, like, there's no holding back. It's a full blown, spirit communication with us, when those kinds of things happen. And I have to admit, the amount of details and timing and the layers of coincidence with that are pretty profound. And at the bottom line, the end of the story is that it was meaningful to her, and it meant something really powerful, and it changed her energy to find that and to have that experience. And so that's really all that matters. That is a sign. That's what you want from a sign more than anything. And it can be surprising and random and weird and unique and specific and, you know, all these different things. So I remember, you know, the one thing that my aunt used to always tell me as a child, I had an Aunt Shirley who was very into New Age topics and well-versed in these kinds of phenomenon. And it was something that she liked to talk about. And I was always very drawn to her and very interested in her because she did talk about these kinds of things. And I remember her explaining to me one time, you know, the difference between an animal sighting and an animal sign, meaning, you know, like, what's the difference between just, oh, there's a squirrel, you know, running across your yard, and having something happen that is like a Native American mystical shamanic kind of communication from the animal spirits. And she said, you know, the thing that you always have to remember is, you know it when you see it. You just feel it. And so the thing that makes it significant or meaningful is that as it's happening, you think, oh my God, this means something, right? Like, you're just struck by that. And that's really, those are the ones you interpret. Those are the ones that you take in. Not every single animal that you see is carrying a message for you necessarily, but the ones that are, you kind of know it. There's some kind of weird charged electricity in the air. There's a silence. There's a feeling that goes along with it when you encounter one of them. So anyway, you know, I always take that as kind of my general rule of thumb when I am interpreting these experiences. And so I'm very sensitive to it. Obviously, you know, I'm open to a good one at any time. Every time I see like a crowd of blackbirds flapping around when I'm driving, I'm trying to count them really quick so that I can look up later and see what the meaning of the number of crows was and all that. So I don't know if you know that you can do that, but when you see a bunch of crows or ravens, Google it and see, you know, of course, there's a band called Counting Crows, and that's where that name comes from, I'm sure. Anyway, back to my story about what happened to me this past weekend. So I have been really stressed and really anxious, and not in any kind of bad sort of emotional way, but just feeling like I just had a lot of plates spinning in the air, and I was going on vacation. I wanted to get a lot of podcasts in the can so that, you know, I wouldn't have some huge, you know, dead air of, you know, 3 or 4 weeks without any content for you guys or whatever. And by the way, while I'm thinking about that, I have decided that I'm going to do sort of groups of these episodes, and then I'd take a break for a week or two and then do another group of episodes. So I'm thinking I'm probably going to do like 11 episodes. Like, right now, that sounds like a good number to me, and I kind of mapped it out, and that would allow me to sort of do these like seasonal mini seasons within the year. That did not necessarily figure into the stress that I felt going into my vacation and, you know, the extra workload that I had. I mean, on top of just adding a new podcast on top of everything that I do, I also was starting to edit a novel and decided at that moment that this was also the time to migrate all my websites. And so anyway, it's not your fault. I just had a huge to-do list and I was really feeling it. And I thought going into the Memorial Day weekend, I was going to go on my yearly camping trip and really unplug, you know, and I thought, oh, you know, this is not the time to drop the reins on all this stuff. I've got a lot of momentum going and I'm in a flow. But I kind of thought, you know, if I don't have a break, I might kind of lose my mind, or I'm afraid that I'm going to crash and burn at some point, and then I am going to have like an emotional, anxious meltdown. So I thought, you know what? No, this, I found like a quote from Lao Tzu, from one of my, friends, and she had posted it on Facebook, and I wrote her and said, oh my God, I really needed to see that. And it was something, I will get the words right and put it in the show notes, but it was something to the effect of, you know, nature never hurries and everything gets done. And I'm super paraphrasing that, but it was a message to me that, you know, okay, I am really freaking myself out. I even had a dream about a giant snail hovering in the sky. Just this beautiful jeweled snail, like the size of Jabba the Hutt. And I don't dream much. So, you know, if I have a cool dream, especially one with like something you can Google in the morning and see what it means, I'm very excited. And believe it or not, I was really dense about it. I was like, ooh, a giant jeweled snail in the sky. What could that possibly mean? And so, of course, I looked it up, as I always do with any kind of animal sign or totem or omen or whatever. And of course, a snail meant, you know, slow down, bitch. Like, you're stressing out. And yeah, so, oh, of course, you know, a snail's pace. And so anyway, I was getting all these messages that were telling me, you know what, you need to calm down. You need to go take a break, take a little vacation. You can come up and pick back up with this when you're done. The sky is not going to fall. And I thought, yeah, you know, I got to go do this. So I went on my vacation. It was wonderful. It was awesome. It wasn't long enough. Of course, I came back and I was tired and a little hungover and exhausted from the activity of camping, which is, you know, sort of physically taxing and, you know, packing and unloading and putting all that stuff together and taking it down. And, you know, it's a little bit of a chore. But one of the reasons why I like to do it is because it engages my mind and my body in such a different kind of way than I'm used to. And if I did a vacation where I just went to a beach and went into a hotel room, then I'm immediately going to check my email and stuff. So this is a way for me to really do something outside of, you know, how I'm normally engaged. And so I came back from all that. I expect to be a little exhausted when I come back and, you know, to need a vacation from my vacation. I, you know, spent a day just doing laundry and washing everything and kind of catching up on shows that I'd recorded and laying around and giving myself a little bit of, you know, an extended vacation at home before I tried to jump in and start doing everything again. And so what happened when I started to try to work again was that I felt completely unraveled. I really looked around and I felt like, oh my God, I dropped the reins and the horses ran away and I don't know how to get them back. My chariot is stalled and, you know, my horses have all run wild and fled. And I was really struggling. I hadn't worked out, you know, in a while because I'd taken this vacation. So I kind of lost that part of my, momentum and my productivity. And I'm a creature of habit. Like, part of the way that I live my life and I create peace for myself is by doing these things that are kind of rote and familiar. And, I do a whole lot of little rituals on a very, repetitious kind of routine. And, you know, I break periodically and throw a wrench into that. But, you know, having to get up and figure it out anew every day freaks me out. The thing that allows me to do all the work that I want to do and see the people that I want to see and feel good in my own body and all that stuff, it's all scheduled, you know, and I show up for it and I go through the motions and it keeps me moving. And so here I was, I had stopped all that. I had literally just jumped off the train and it had left me. And I was having a hard time figuring out like how to get all of that going again. And I already was feeling stress and shame and guilt that I kind of just let everything go and said, screw it, I'm just going to do nothing and go on vacation. And, you know, maybe that wasn't the right thing to do. And I felt lethargic. I was just feeling unmotivated. I thought, God, what have I done to myself? And I finally talked myself into going back to one of my workout classes. My fitness classes are part of my religion. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to show up and go through the motions. I'm going to sweat some of this out and I'm going to start to shift my physical energy first. That's the first thing that I'll do. And so I went to a class on Thursday and, you know, I park a couple of blocks away from the gym and I walk across this huge parking lot. It's just this big flat asphalt expanse. It's not like a parking garage or anything. It's an exposed, just an entire block that's asphalt with pay lots in it. And it's usually relatively empty in the evenings because everyone who uses it for their work day has already gone home. So anyway, I park in a different place just depending on where the openings are, but I walk across this huge expanse of asphalt and I kind of take a different route. Sometimes it's more like diagonally across the whole thing. Sometimes I'm just kind of catching a corner just depending on where I end up finding a free parking space. And so Thursday I walked, I remember thinking, wow, I'm really walking like across the whole thing diagonally and I'm kind of almost hitting the center. And that sort of crossed my mind and I felt kind of crappy. And anyway, I went and worked out. I felt a little bit better about it, but you know, Friday I was still kind of struggling a little bit and I thought, okay, Saturday morning, I'm back for another class. I'm in first gear here, but you know, I'm at least making a little bit of progress. And so on Saturday morning, went back, found another parking space, didn't really notice or think about where it was, but I started walking across the parking garage or the parking lot again. And as I'm walking, I spot these feathers right between my feet, right in my path. And in that moment on Saturday when I spotted these feathers, I flashed to Thursday and I realized just in an instant, oh my God, I walked over these feathers on Thursday. And so a whole bunch of things went through my brain simultaneously. One was the way that the feathers were arranged and what color they were. There was sort of a brown feather and then a gray one laying over the top of it in a cross shape and, or an X, you know. And the other thing that went through my mind is, wait a minute. It's really windy and it has rained since the last time I was here. How on earth is it possible that these two little feathers are in the same spot where they were 2 days ago and that I'm walking right over the top of them again? And so I realized in that moment, oh my God, this is a sign. These birds have left these feathers for me, or the spirits have dropped these feathers for me, or they've replaced them because they were in pristine condition. I thought there's no way that they've been sitting in the same spot. So maybe they've been repeated. Whatever it was, it stopped me in my tracks. But I didn't physically stop in my tracks. I kept walking as I was having all this process in my head, as I'm pulling out my phone, as I'm Googling, what does a brown feather mean? What does a gray feather mean? And so I thought it was kind of cool because, damn, you know, I really needed that message. I needed it on Thursday. And here it was on Saturday, making sure I didn't miss it. A gray feather is a period of tranquility that may lie ahead. That was the message. A period of tranquility may lie ahead. And that was like bolded on the website I was reading. It was a subheader on that webpage. And I thought, oh, thank you. I really needed to hear that. And I looked up the brown feather really quick and it said it was about grounding and, you know, feeling a grounding between the earthly and the spiritual. And I thought, okay, well, that makes sense because that was my intuition, is that in order to get back some peace and to kind of find my center again, I needed to ground myself in my body first. And that's why I was there, you know, getting the workout reins back in my hands first and foremost. And so I went on to read a little bit more of what the gray feathers meant. And I'm going to read you a little bit of what it said. It said, "Have you been going through a tough time? The gray feather might have appeared to reassure you that the road ahead is much more positive. This feather won't undo the past and it won't erase bad memories, but it could help you to erase your pain and suffering in the present moment. The gray feather could be trying to tell you that everything will be okay. It might not seem like it at the moment, but you're a strong person and you will survive this. Hold your head up high and carry on with life as best you can. Eventually, you'll feel like a great weight has been lifted off your shoulders and you'll start to feel joy again. Things will get better and these negative thoughts won't last forever. And I was like, oh, thank you, feather magic, angels who drop feathers, animal spirit, totems, whoever you are. I needed to hear that message. And I know it sounds like a little thing. It's awfully common to be an oracle. But I have to tell you, at that moment for me, and at this moment for you, if you're hearing this message and it's the right time that you really need to hear it, it's pretty profound. And so I think maybe that is our oracle for the week. You know, I usually do an oracle segment at the end of the show. So think about what you're holding in your heart right now and the questions that you have and the concerns you're experiencing. And I'll put the gray feather message in the show notes so that you can read it. But that's our oracle. Yeah. So my story was the oracle and the oracle was my story. And I'm sure that there are a lot of people who are listening to this right now that just need to hear that simple, basic reassurance that it's okay. There's some peace coming up ahead. Thanks for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. For show notes, links, and all the past episodes, please visit shiftyourspirits.com. You can subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher or whatever app you use to access podcasts. If you're new to podcasts, it's probably that purple button on your iPhone. Click it, search Shift Your Spirits, and hit subscribe. Then all the episodes will be there for you automatically, and you can take them with you. If you'd like to get an intuitive reading with me or download a free ebook and meditation to help you connect with your guides, please go to sladeroberson.com. And if you're interested in my professional intuitive training program, check out automaticintuition.com. And I'll talk to you later.